Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is a true legend of popular music, composer, arranger, and conductor, Burt Bacharach. His music has charmed and beguiled audiences for many a year, and he continues to be an ultra-cool hero to listeners both young and old. I'm just thrilled to have Burt as my guest on Piano Jazz.
Thrilled to be here, Marion.
Well,
thrilled, you know.
I never really thought that could happen, you know.
Nor did I, you know, and like that chance encounter when I played a concert in Long Island, and that's something that you were sort of the patron of that particular venue, and you were there, and I heard you were there, and you came backstage, and I was very excited you were in the audience.
I knew you were there, but I didn't think you knew too much about me, you know. I thought, well, I would love to meet him.
You know, I have these roots, you know, that trace right back to what you were doing early on.
And, well, you were a true, I mean, you loved Dizzy.
I love adored
and,
Dizzy.
And Charlie Parker.
Yeah, I
didn't
loved
you kind
and,
of. You,
and Monk and, you know, Tad Dameron, the big band. See, I used to go to 52nd Street.
When you were a kid?
Yeah, I have a phony ID card because I wasn't old enough to get into some of the, you know, club, the Spotlight Club, you know. I mean, it was unbelievable to see Dizzy's big band up there on stage.
Well, were you playing at that time?
You know, I first got really into music because I hated it. Man, when I started, and my mother made me take lessons.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
I mean, it was like somebody had a gun pointed at my head. Because I came home from school, and my mom would say, okay, you have to practice now. And I said, I want to go out and play with my friends. A half an hour, then you can go out.
How old were you then?
By 27. No.
You were not.
I was really in my early teens, maybe, somewhere 11, 12. You know, I was a pretty singular kid. I was an only child, so having to come home from school and practicing, it's a solitary thing.
But you must have suddenly decided, you must have made a switch in your head. You suddenly liked it because all these songs came flowing out.
Yeah, but there were no songs at the time. They were just playing Claire de Lune or messing it up in a children's recital. And just unbelievable stuff, you know. And I got interested a little bit in popular music. I'd listen to the Harry James Big Band and the Dorsey Brothers Big Band. And I got very kind of into letting myself be taken with my mother and father to these restaurants in New York. There were restaurants with a band playing. Because I was fascinated by the way the drum sets, the mother of pearl drum sets and all the cymbals and all. And you know, they cut me a set of drums and I couldn't keep time with the radio. You'll notice today when we play something together, my time will be pretty terrible, but, you know.
Listen, let's play something.
Sure, and then we'll pick up this
story. Dying to hear you play something.
Yeah. Well, why don't we play Alfie? I heard you play that the other night in a concert, and it was thrilling. And I'd do it in B-flat.
Okay.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Are we meant to take more than we give? Or are we meant to be kind? And if only fools are kind, Alfie, then I guess it is wise to to be cruel. And her life belongs only to the strong. Now feel, what will you lend on an old golden rule? As sure as I believe there's a heaven above, Alfie, I know there's something much more, something even non-believers can believe in. And I believe in love, Alfie. Without you, love, we just exist, Alfie. Till you find the love you missed, you're nothing, Alfie. When you walk, let your heart lead the way, and you'll find love any day. Alfie. That was fun. My goodness.
I didn't know where you were going next. I thought,
nor did I.
I'll just follow where he's going.
But you was just quite, right there. Brilliant.
I guess I played Alfie ever since the movie came out. That's the most gorgeous tune I ever heard.
But there's an interesting way to write that song that came with, as I've done with Hal David in the past.
But you,
the lyric you, basically written first.
Your tunes, sometimes they go off in a strange way.
Well, I don't think it would have, had I not worked with a lyric first in that case. Because it had to really relate to what happened in the movie, what the story was about in the movie, and so Hal gave me a lyric.
There's
and
a
I
lot.
Set the lyric, you know?
It's funny, there's a lot of humor. There's,
Yeah. Do you I never phone you?
I love this part. I love that. Right.
And I love it too.
It's like,
I never fall in love. When they do it that way, they go right to the downbeat. And
I know.
Never fall in love again. That's the way it's supposed to. And sometimes you hear singers go, never fall in love again, please.
No, I love that tune. Let's do that.
I never fall in love again?
Yeah, let's do that.
There's an intro that I... Right. I love doing that. Oh, God.
Well, I just love that song. And to hear you play and sing it, that's really lovely. It's got great lyrics. Well, now you've got to go back to where you were. You didn't like piano playing at first, but then you suddenly must have got into it because you were really young when you started coming out with song after song after song.
Well, I was, but you know, I think what nailed my interest, you know, because again, we're at the stage where I hated taking piano lessons and hated practicing. That was certainly in high school. And I do remember my mother coming into my bedroom at bedtime, and she said, "Look, you know, your dad and I, we've been just battling. Day in, day out, month in, you know, with the piano with you, and you just seem resistant. You don't want to do it." And she said, "I'm giving you your choice. You can stop now. I mean, you want to stop. It's fine." And she went out of the room, and I thought, free. I'm free at last. I don't have to come home from school and practice the piano now. I can go out and play with the few friends I've got. And then I thought, I can't do this to my mother. The guilt started to set in. The guilt did set in. And the next morning I said, I'll continue on. And thank God for that moment. Thank God, she said, you know.
Look what happened.
Well, yeah, but then see what happened. I continued practicing. Then we had a little band in high school. There were a couple of us that played, and that was a good way to do something after school with a guy who played lousy saxophone. And we put a little band together, maybe played at the community center. And that was interesting. That was fun. At least you got to meet some girls that way, you know, in school.
That's what you really wanted to do, meet girls.
Well, I was very shy. I really was.
Where were you now, in New York or in Kansas City?
Long Island. No, I was just born in Kansas City, left when I was 1 year old. So I don't remember it at all, you know? Except it's very interesting. Going back to Kansas City, not that long ago, sometime within the last 10 years.
To play, I guess.
To conduct the Kansas City Symphony, yeah. And, you know, I started talking about being born there and my father worked for Wolf Brothers. And I got very emotional. It kind of touched me on stage, which was kind of caught me off guard.
What did you play? What things did you play?
With the symphony?
Yeah.
I played Wives and Lovers. I played, I'm sure we played This Guy's in Love with You. I've seen.
Can't we do that one?
Which one do you want to do?
This Guy's in Love
with
You.
Let's do This Guy's in Love with You.
Let's do that.
All right. Okay. Do we need an intro?
You want to make one?
Yeah, I mean, always. See, I'm so conditioned to having made it with Herb Alpert, you know, and with Dion.
Right.
And always started the same way. Two-bar intro.
Right.
That's why it was really fun making this record with Ron Isley, because we got into a whole different thing. What was it? Do-do-do-do. Do da 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 da. Do da da do do. Do da da do. Do da 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 da. Different key, you know, for Ronnie, but now we're in C. My heart keep breaking 'cause I need your love. I don't want your love. Say you're in love, in love with this guy. If not, I'll just die. Do 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 do. This guy's in love with you. In love with you.
That's a lot of fun.
It's great.
Well, there'll be more in a minute with Bert Bacharach. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Different people have different ways of writing. I mean, do you say, I'm going to write a song today, and you sit at the piano?
You know, I have this principle that, you know, I should be in touch with my music every day. There are some days, there's just not times. I know I've got two little kids now. It's not
That's
as important
right.
for me. Yeah, it's not as important for me to try myself.
Well, see, you're doing, keeping up with everything that's happening now, aren't you?
Well, I try to, as much as I can tolerate what I have to keep up with. There's a lot of music out there that I'm not going to be. I mean, with the Ron Isley album that I did, which were basically all, a lot of the older songs and two new songs. We did Alfie, we did House Is Not a Home in there. This was a tremendous kick for me to work with him, because it made me rethink. I mean, when he said he wanted to do Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, I thought, oh, no, man, I can't do this song, because, I mean, there's one way.
And isn't yet, that one that you sort of got fed up with? Or that
well, you... yeah, I mean, it, you know, I've done it, but to have a soul singer, a really soulful singer like Ronnie Isley, and I said, like, Ronnie, I mean, we can't. He said, well, just try it. And I mean, I know what key. He said, and you know, he said, just play a chord. And I think it was an F we did it. I played that. And he just sang, raindrops keep falling on my head. They keep falling on my head. But that doesn't mean my eyes. I mean, you know, suddenly, two bars, I knew, well, I can make this a totally different, very soulful record. You know? I can make it a very R&B oriented record.
Well, is that what you wanted to have it be?
Oh, yeah.
Did it come?
So I loved it.
But I like that tune. I mean, I would love to just play that tune straight.
Which one? Raindrops?
Raindrops. Can I do that?
I'd love to hear you play Raindrops.
Okay. Thank you.
Bravo. It's brilliant. I'm really loving Marianne because, you see, you take a song like that, you play a song so tastefully. I've had this problem with, maybe it's about expectations with my music with jazz artists. I think in a way I'm responsible for maybe having music that's a little restrictive. But you see, you just gave some a breath of air and a sense of what, how this music could be really played. I mean, you know, I remember Sinatra recording Wives and Lovers with a Basie band, and Quincy Jones produced it, and they played it for me. And I was really disappointed because it was in four. And that song doesn't, hey, two, little girl, two, three, little girl, yeah. It's stiff in four. It doesn't belong in four.
No, it wouldn't go in four.
Hey, little girl, light, start the music, time, do, 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 do. Yeah.
No, but it's not very good in four.
It's terrible in four. It's terrible in four, except there was one thing that I had written in three and never thought of it in four. But Luther Vandross did What the World Needs Now is Love in four. And it was kind of very exciting, but it was very soulful and it was a very R&B kind of feel in the background, you know.
Well, let's play it the way you wrote it. Come on, let's do it the way you would do it.
Four-bar intro. Going into four. just for some. No, not just for some, but for everyone. No, not just for some. No, not just for some. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Just for some, no, not just for some, but for everyone. No, not just for some, no, not just for some, no, not just for some, but for everyone.
Having fun, aren't you?
I'm having the best time.
You are having a good time.
And best time because I'm playing with an absolute genius jazz pianist and I'm daring to play at the same time. Hey, you know, I thought at one time, this is what I wanted to do, you see, because, you know, gravitating towards that music, that was what got me interested in music.
Listening to Dizzy and people like
that? Yeah. Particularly Dizzy and Charlie Parker, you know. And I heard this music. It was like somebody opened the window. Breath of fresh air. And I heard what you were doing, you know? And I heard what Monk was doing. He was a little out there for me, you see? But the Modern Jazz Quartet.
Yeah, no, that was interesting.
They were great. A little cerebral to me. But, you know, it made me then trigger a desire to care about music and get involved. So I was into it then. And, you know, I studied and...
You studied with Darius Milhaud?
Well, then I got into classical music. I studied with Darius Milhaud.
Henry Cowell?
Henry Cowell and Bohuslav Martinů, the Czech composer. And,
well, I mean, you were really into doing heavy stuff then.
Yeah, I was going hanging out with John Cage and Lou Harrison. And so, you know, my appetite was whetted for music, but I guess at core, I was supposed to be a pop composer. What did I learn from Darius Milhaud? He said, never feel embarrassed or ashamed by something that's a good melody. So I never forgot that. And I, that gave me permission to write.
Be melodic.
And write serious music. So Milhaud taught me not to be ashamed to write something melodic that people could whistle, could remember, a tune, something pretty.
And that's what you've been doing. Well, if you're just tuning in, my guest today is Bert Bacharach. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the tunes performed on today's program, visit our website at pianojazz.org. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I know I've got a good idea. Can I, like, make up a pianistic portrait of you or play something?
I would love.
I don't know what it is because I haven't done it yet.
That's the most thrilling to me. Because it's totally unprepared.
So just I'm, what I think of you, meeting you and talking to you. See what comes out.
Beautiful. I've got to come to New York, back east, and just learn some new chords from you. They're great.
I'm very flattered, because you play some of the greatest chords. When I was at the concert last summer, and you, some of the things you played, they had great chords. And I thought, man, he really can put tunes together with an orchestra. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, we'll have more in a minute. My guest is Bert Bacharach. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. You know something that you haven't done today, Bert, is a tune by yourself. Can't you do one? Would be lovely.
You know, I could do that, Marion. There is a song that I wrote a number of years ago with Hal David, 30-plus years ago. And I really forgot about it. It wasn't a hit. It wasn't very well known. But after 9/11, I kind of took the song out and started doing it in concerts. And
what's it called?
The Windows of the World.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, they're wonderful words that Hal wrote. The windows of the world are covered with rain. Where is the sunshine we once knew? Everybody knows where little children play. They need a sunny day to grow straight and tall. Let the sun shine through.
Oh, what a lovely, poignant tune.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it, that the restaurant on top of the Twin Towers is called The Windows of the World.
Yeah.
So well, it was a, you know, I started doing the song at the end of the show as an encore after 9/11. It's very tough some nights to get through.
Well, do you still do it, don't you?
Yeah. Even in Europe this summer I did, yeah.
What's next for you? What's coming up?
Well, I'm working on an instrumental album, taking some chances, some risks.
You mean on tunes you've already written on
new
tunes?
No, new stuff, new things, new music.
Great.
And we I play Vegas 3 times in the coming year.
Well, when you're there, you must do some of those things like you did in the Long Island.
I do. And I like working with symphonies. Yeah, we all have played with the Honolulu Symphony and then the Dallas Symphony, Atlanta Symphony in this coming year.
Now, what are you going to play with them?
I wouldn't know how to do anything that I didn't write. I've got it down to a mode.
There's nothing wrong with only playing the things you write. You write such great things.
But I play as much as we can get in, about an hour and a half concert with a symphony, and you got to be careful. You never want to run a symphony into overtime. Not in these times when they're really struggling, you know. So you want to keep it to an hour and a half, and I give the people as much music. We have to do a lot of things in medley form. It's not hard doing concerts for you or for me. It's the getting there, and it's really tough.
Yeah, it's
travel.
The getting there. Oh, man.
Yeah, and it's getting to yet another hotel and some other place. But, you know, I'm trying to just keep the concerts anywhere from 30 to 35 a year. And so whatever got me on stage in the first place was the writing, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And
maybe we should do a 2-piano concert.
I'd love to anything with you.
I'll really learn the tunes.
I wish you'd do an album of my music because you would do such a beautiful, tasteful jump. And as I said to you before, I have not really heard my music executed from a jazz artist the way I would hoped. And I think you would be the one.
That's very nice. Thank you. Well, what else are we going to do? Close to you?
Too close to you, Graham.
It's got to be the last tune anyway. Jeez, we've done so many tunes. I'm falling off
the... We haven't done enough, Mary.
Well, okay. I tell you, Earl Hines did do a bona fide jazz version.
Can't imagine it.
I'll get it for you. He did.
That's great. Close to you. just like me, Marion, they long to be close to you, close to you. They long to be so close to you, Marion McPartland.
You're wonderful.
I love doing that, man. Oh, God, I wish we could do it more often.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marion McPartland and her guest Burt Bacharach, a program which originally aired in 2005. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marion and her guests. This program was recorded at Media Hyperium Studios in Los Angeles, California. Special thanks to Herbert Valtel. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer David Glover, assistant recording engineer Ted White, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon, production intern Evan Hill. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR stations, and NPR. Support also comes from Jazz Times Magazine, since 1970, providing insight, news, and opinion on the jazz world. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. This is NPR.